You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. The new Premier League season kicks off in England this weekend as we welcome in Craig Burley, Shaka Hislop and Ian Dark, as is traditional.
Brace yourself, folks. Brace yourself for a photograph that's going to come up on your screen where Ian Dark was...
There it is!
The picture. There it is!
There it is! Look at that!
Taken yesterday. Yesterday, boys.
Pre-lockdown. Liverpool, Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs is Ian's top six. Top scorer Harry Kane, Kevin De Bruyne, his player of the year, West Brom, Fulham and Villa to go down. Meanwhile, Shaka, similar top two. He's got Chelsea then third, United fourth, Arsenal, Spurs. Top scorer Aubameyang, player of the year, Kevin De Bruyne, West Brom, Brighton and Fulham to go down. But Craig,
he's put some weight on as well, his lot.
Hey, look, as miserable as ever, Craig. There you are.
Well, I didn't pick, there was loads of happy pictures to pick from. I didn't pick that.
Yeah, right. City, you have winning it, Craig. You're the only one. Why?
Why not?
Because they lost by 18 points last season, because they've only brought in Nathan Ake, that they haven't exactly set things on fire in the transfer
terrible.
Market.
City are terrible all of a sudden. They're not going to go after Koulibaly. They've got a terrible squad. David Silva's left. The whole house is going to fold like a pack of cards. The reason I've gone for them is I think they'll sign another centre-half. I think they'll have learned from their mistakes of last season. Otherwise, they're in trouble. And Guardiola certainly knows it's a position when they have possession and they're dominating teams that they have to learn to not be so open defensively.
But they didn't learn. They didn't learn last season when it kept happening, right? They didn't learn in the Champions League. What's made you suggest that he's learned over the last month?
Well, he has a short break to solve it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the previous two seasons, they managed to do all right, 100 points and 98 points. So, they're not going away. And one of the reasons is that they're still a talented squad with a talented manager. Yes, they need some fresh faces that they'll probably get. But the other reason is not that Liverpool are bad, but I think to continue with that, to raise your performance above what they did last year or even keep it at that level, I think is going to be hugely difficult. City did it for a couple of seasons and then folded to, 81 or 82 points or whatever it was last year. So it is difficult to reproduce that, Dan. And I think for that reason, that's why I'm going to go for City, because they were kind of embarrassed somewhat by some of their defending this year. And I think they will have the grit in the teeth again because they have a purpose about them. Liverpool gave them a smack in the mouth last year. And I think from that perspective, City will be better. And then you ask the question, can Liverpool reproduce that magic for another 12 months? And I think that'll be difficult. That's why I've gone for City.
Ian, you've got City third.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Manchester United with Bruno Fernandes, and I still think they might get Jadon Sancho, improved a lot. In fact, Fernandes hasn't lost a league game yet in a Manchester United shirt. I think they could finish second. I don't go with Craig at all about Manchester City. I don't see why they're favourites. They lost 9 times in the Premier League last season. What's changed so much in their DNA? I think there's something in their mentality where they do slip up. Yes, they're a great side when they're really on song, but they've got a lot of convincing, I think, of the neutrals to do, that they can grind it out week after week in the way Liverpool did. Liverpool, you know, Klopp calls them his mentality monsters. Yeah, there are nagging doubts. You know, the defence hasn't looked great since they won the title. But I think once it starts all over again, I think Klopp's going to be really wound up to foil Pep Guardiola again and Manchester City and to do it all over again. So for the third year running, I'm going to Liverpool to win the title. Now, take Craig's point. Might not be so easy when they're now defending it.
Shaka, you've gone for Liverpool.
Yeah, I think Liverpool showed last season that they were quite easily the best team in the league. 18 points, the difference between them and City. And keep in mind how, by their own standards, how poor they were after the lockdown. 18 points is a lot to make up. The only way I see Liverpool slipping up is if there's a long-term injury or two to their front three, which is a possibility given how consistent Jurgen Klopp has been able to call them over the last two seasons. But do I think that Liverpool, is it more likely that there's a long-term injury to their front three or to Kun Aguero for City, which I think is a bigger blow for Manchester City than it would be for Liverpool? I go Kun Aguero. I just feel there's just too much of a swing to see City eclipse Liverpool.
Craig, where do you stand on Ian's prediction that United will finish second?
No, I don't see it. And you know why I'm going to say it? You know why? One of the main reasons I'm going to say I don't see them finishing second is the manager. And I think that's where... And the squad's not ideal as well. You know, Anthony Martial, we saw him score, be involved heavily for France over the last 3 or 4 days. He needs to reproduce the kind of form he had last season. That's a question mark because he's never been able to do it consistently. And so whilst they certainly were better on the eye. We talk about, Shaq just mentioned there, City closing that gap. I personally don't think they'll have to close the gap as much because I don't see Liverpool getting that points tally again. That's going to be really difficult. So I don't think you'll be chasing just shy of 100 points. And the other side of the coin is that, as you look at the gap, Man United have to pick back from, and I don't want to repeat myself. You know how many points they were off the top last season, Dan?
How many?
33.
Ding, 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 ding.
So I don't see it. I think if City played, I know United beat City a couple of times last year, whatever it was, particularly on the counter-attack. But a couple of those games, particularly the first, I think, League Cup game at Old Trafford, it should have been about 6-0 at half-time. How it was is a mystery. So I don't have United in second place. I've got United in fourth because I think Chelsea have had a better summer and are better equipped than United.
All those Chelsea players that have arrived have got to gel, and I think Frank Lampard's still got to prove that he does defence. They let in more goals than Brighton last season. Yep. They've got Thiago Silva back there. They've got Chilwell when he's fit to come into that defence. But again, I think there's a lot of questions with Chelsea.
Before we go on to Chelsea, just last word on United with you, Shaka. You've got them fourth.
Yeah, listen, I understand exactly what Ian's saying about United and the Bruno Fernandes impact, but quite clearly that can't continue. And just when you look at these squads, pound for pound, I think they're the fourth best in the league.
Why can't it continue, Shaq?
I put them fourth. You really think we're going to be talking about a 2020-21 season that goes undefeated with Bruno Fernandes on the park? No, it can't. I still don't think that they are that good defensively. They still have issues around David De Gea. At one point, the best in the league without question. But now, as I've said previously, I think he's on a downward trend. And I think that has a huge impact on them at the back. Do they have enough to support that going forward? Quite clearly, time will tell. But as we sit right now, I don't think so.
Chelsea then not in the top four, according to Ian Craig, because of concerns about the new players gelling.
No, and listen, it is a bit of a we don't know. The one thing we do know, the players they've brought in are quality, whether it be younger players like Havertz. And I mean, Werner's not an old guy, you know, early 20s. We know about Pulisic's form in recent months. We know about Ziyech's ability. The returning players that were fit and injured at the start of last season, like Hudson-Odoi and Loftus-Cheek, they're probably going to sign a goalkeeper. There's lots of reports about that. Thiago Silva, I think, is a great signing short term. And then you've got Chilwell. And so I think in terms of the squad, in terms of if they're under pressure, he can go to the well, Frank Lampard, and look around and pluck quite a few up to go in the team. They've got a lot of choices. Now, that might be the difficulty, and we'll have to see. And both him and Solskjaer are in the same shoes, you know, whether they can really muster up the ability to take a challenge to the top two. That remains to be seen. We can't question, you know, Guardiola and Klopp at the top in the sense that they've done it all. But certainly in the chasing pack, you know, you've got Arteta at Arsenal, who's inexperienced, albeit he's got an FA Cup. You've got Lampard, who's had one Premier League season experience at Chelsea. You've got Solskjaer, who's got more experience in management, but what, 18 months to 2 years at United? So we just really don't know what's going to happen there. But I think from Chelsea's perspective, they look to have enough going forward that if a game's going against them, they can make some good changes off the bench.
Shaq?
I totally agree. We don't know how well all these players coming in will gel. But the truth is, they're that talented. They don't have to gel that well to finish third. If they gel seamlessly and it goes perfectly and all those players play to the level that we know they can, then all of a sudden we're talking about Liverpool and City having an issue. I don't think that'll be the case, just as I don't think it'll be the case that they don't gel at all and somehow they finish outside the top four. I think it falls somewhere in the middle. I like exactly what Frank Lampard did all of last season in his first season as a Premier League manager. Had to make some brave decisions, had to endure poor form, rode his luck at times. But I think it's all starting to come together for Frank as a manager and for Chelsea as a team. I see them finishing third.
Dan, just before we go to Ian, I think to go back to Ian's point about Chelsea defensively, and they were bad last year, there's no doubt about it. And he can maybe, Lampard himself can throw out, the goalkeeper, it was a nightmare, kept having to change, and Christensen didn't have a great season, neither did Rudiger. And I had two right backs and I was rotating, I had two left backs I was rotating, and I went to a back three. And he can use all that. But I think, arguably for me, more important than fitting all these excellent chess pieces in the attacking third, I don't think that's the most important thing. I think the most important thing for him is to get a back four and stick with it and work with it and get a solid base for those talented players to go and operate. Because he chopped and changed so many times last year, they didn't know if they were coming or going. Now, I know it was down to form and fitness some of the times, but I think for them to have success, they're going to have to get Chilwell in there, Thiago Silva in there, it'll probably be Rudiger next to him, and Azpilicueta at right back. And if they have a bad game, they have a bad game. But stick with it, work with that back four, if that's his back four that he's going to go with. Make sure that's a solid unit, and then fit all the other pieces in front. I think if he can't do that, they'll struggle.
To that point, Craig, I have a feeling I'm going to live to regret this. I think Rudiger's an incredibly talented defender. I just don't think he's a leader. And having to lead at the back for Chelsea, I think cost him in terms of his form. Thiago Silva coming in now takes that off of his plate. I think you see the best of Rudiger as a result, and Chelsea much improved defensively.
Meanwhile, Ian, Arsenal fans are sat there going, oh, look at these ESPN numpties. They hate us. We go out, we've beaten Chelsea, we've beaten City, we've beaten Liverpool, yet none of them have us finishing in the top four.
No, I've got them finishing fourth.
Oh, sorry, Ian. You're the one that isn't the numpty.
I think Arteta's changed the mentality of that club completely. I think you've seen it three times now. Every time at Wembley in the FA Cup semi-final, the FA final, then the Community Shield against good opposition. I think they're a different side now. And I think they do have that capability to go out every week and be pretty consistent as well. If they can keep everybody fit, they might need to add one or two more between October the 5th. But I could see Arsenal maybe being where you could call it the surprise team and making the top four ahead of slightly more fancied rivals.
Craig?
Well, I think they're better for sure, and I've got them at fifth. But I just don't see it yet over 38 games with the strength and depth. There's a clear plan about what way he wants to go. And so far, what we've seen is strong management with Mesut Ozil, with Guendouzi, with others. And he's got a way he wants to play. Obviously, the Aubameyang story is big for him, and that could still unravel. But I see them being better and more consistent, but not consistent enough over 38 games, I don't think, with the squad they currently have, unless they go out and splurge 100, 150 million before the October shut-off. I just don't quite think they've got enough. I think in terms of the Cup, where they were excellent, yes. But in terms of the league, going away from home, churning results out, playing Tuesday, playing Saturday, two, three games a week, I don't quite think they're ready for that to break into top four yet.
Shaq?
I totally agree. I think this is a much improved Arsenal team without question. But they're playing catch-up with everybody else, just as we've mentioned about some of the other clubs and the top two per se. I just don't see Arsenal finishing top four unless somebody in that top four just has a total disaster, a total catastrophe that we don't foresee. Key injuries to two or maybe even three players, or as Gab sometimes puts it, aliens coming down and abducting somebody or two. But I just find it, I just can't pass any top four assuming that somebody's going to have a disaster. That I won't feel right doing that. I don't think they're good enough for that.
What's the chances, Dan, of me being the only one that's gone from Man City? Do you think my colleague, our colleague, Stevie Nicol, will bail me out? Or is
I don't
yeah,
know.
Absolutely no chance.
I wonder who it is. he will say, but they don't have Van Dijk. Boys, thank you very much. We've run out of time. We might talk about Spurs a little later on. Just a reminder, extra time available over on our YouTube channel where the boys will be answering your tweets.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Cristiano Ronaldo against Sweden this week took his tally to 101 international goals. It looks inevitable that he will break the all-time record held by Ali Day. Craig, we talked about it with Stevie on yesterday's programme. You've got to admire the mentality of Ronaldo in that he plays every game. He wants the ball all the time. He wants these goals like he's an 18-year-old, not a 35-year-old.
Yeah, and how many... it's not just the goals. It's the amount of caps. I think I might be wrong. It's about 165
yes.
or thereabouts.
Yep, spot on.
Right, that's incredible. Right, and that and those caps have been a lot of friendlies as well. Right, and I know from experience, and I'm not going to put words in Shaq's mouth, but I know from me and Nicol, we've talked about it years ago when there was friendlies. We used to duck for cover. We'd find any reason to try and get out of it. A sore toenail, anything, you know, a headache. We'd try anything not to go on international duty for these friendlies. But you don't get to the amount of caps and goals that this guy's got without pitching up pretty much every time Portugal have a fixture. And that, for somebody who's achieved what he's achieved in the game, is quite incredible, because normally when you see a guy with this talent and be like, nah, I tell you what, I don't fancy this game, you know, it doesn't really mean much. I'm going to stay in Madrid or Manchester or Turin, wherever he was at the time, and I'm going to let the others get on with it. But you don't get to that level without pitching up when fit, time after time, for your country. And I know Stevie, I think, called it desire, and I think that's the correct terminology. The desire involved to continue to do it, as well as the talent, is quite astounding.
And it just seems insatiable, Ian.
Yeah, I think he's a phenomenon. He's the gold standard, and people will be talking about him in 100 years' time as among the greatest players ever to have graced the game. And we're very lucky to be around people like him and Messi. I think of those 101 goals, only 17 of them have come in friendly. So he does it in the big games and at the big championships as well. He's carried that Portugal team for a long time, and not anymore. They've got a lot of good players now around him, led by people like Bruno Fernandes and João Felix, and this good young defender, Dias, as well. So I think, you know, he's going to go on and on. He's looked after himself. Look at his longevity. It's incredible. It's nearly now two decades of this. I mean, he was starring in the 2004 FA Cup final for Manchester United. When he first went there, everyone thought, well, he's got loads of talent, but he's a bit of a show pony, all these stepovers. Look how he's made himself into the player that he has, just through hard work, to go with all that desire and dedication that Craig was talking about.
Right then, Shaka. You've gone on record, obviously, to say that Lionel Messi can never be considered the greatest of all time because he's never led Argentina to a World Cup. Where does Cristiano Ronaldo's achievement internationally and his dedication to Portugal sway you in that argument?
I think it leans heavily in that favour for obvious reasons. Mind you, not at a World Cup, so we're not having that discussion just yet. But just given what he continues to do, and desire is a great word that Craig used, and I think he has a desire not just to score goals, but to break records. And I think that's his motivation. So there's no question. It's only a matter of time before the Ali Dai record drops. And then we will continue having this discussion around what he's done at international level, join the comparisons with Lionel Messi. But I'll also hasten to add, it's an unfair comparison given how CONMEBOL is structured. Mm. They don't have Nations League, and it's only a 10-team confederation. So generally, you are playing tougher games. So that's another discussion to be had around there. The fact that he's won the Euros, that he's won the Nations League, obviously works in his favour. As far as I'm concerned, until you do it at the highest of levels, without question, I still think we're barking up the wrong tree.
Do you know where his drive comes from, Dan? I mean, he's going to be 36 come the Euros next year. But as you say, if he's fit and healthy, he'll be there. And look, that's going to be a big situation at Juventus, that, you know, how many games is he going to play, and how are they going to manage his body? So that's going to be important. But the things that drive him, you would imagine, are these records. You know, that record of Ali Dai certainly would be something that he knows about. But the other thing that I think that drives him is success. And that is that, you know, he's looking at this Portugal team, and he's seen young, talented players, right? He's seen an avenue for potential success again in Euro 2021. Now, if he wasn't seeing that, maybe the drive would be diminished somewhat. But when he looks at the supporting cast now, the fact that he can't play in the right wing or the left wing anymore and run up and down for 90 minutes, but he has to play through the middle, be more of a penalty box player, he can do that with Bernardo Silva, with Bruno Fernandes, with João Felix. And for me, that makes him lick his chops and say, do you know what? Maybe people thought 2016 was a bit of a fluke when we beat France, but this team might be actually better equipped to go to the Euros and have another bash at it. And not only records that drive him on, but that has to drive him on as well, because, you know, 2022 World Cup, that's another year down the line, and we'll get to that discussion. But I genuinely believe that he believes that Portugal, if they can manage the poorer areas of the team, and that would be the back four, have got a real shot at this European Championships next year.
Ian, how much does his goal-scoring record internationally weigh into the argument when comparing him with Messi?
Well, I don't like this discussion all the time about who's better, him or Lionel or Messi, because it goes round in circles. They are two absolutely phenomenal footballers, and it's useless really trying to separate them. Okay, if Portugal go and win the World Cup as well as the European Championship, I agree with Craig, by the way. I think they've got a much better chance this time than they did in 2016 with all those players that they've got. I mean, that would add something to the legacy, wouldn't it? If he went and won the World Cup as well, where maybe you'd say then, if people love this argument, he is ahead of Messi. But if Argentina do it, Messi can have the bragging rights. But I think just enjoy the pair of them without trying to separate them.
Craig?
What?
Messi or Ronaldo?
Do you want me? I'm going to retread this statement. If you ask me that again, I'm going to down tools here. I'm going to drive into Bristol and I'm going to throttle you. Right? Don't stop having this discussion.
Because nobody can win it.
ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us as we'll be looking ahead to the restart of football across Europe.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Well, as promised, let's talk a bit of Spurs. And I'll tell you what, Jose Mourinho, when it comes to his second season, it's quite a sensational resume. Yeah, you take a look at the expectations surrounding Spurs as we kick off the new season, and they are low. Really low, Ian. It's incredible. I was looking back at the predictions that we did at the start of last season, and there's a lot of talk about Spurs being in the top four. They've fallen so far, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and everybody's getting a bit of an insight into it in this documentary series, The All or Nothing, going behind the scenes at Tottenham, which rather brushes over Mauricio Pochettino's departure from the club. I think it does touch on the fact that they started last season with a much bigger hangover than we all realise from losing the Champions League final the year before. It took them some time to get themselves going last season. When Mourinho came in, they were 14th. He got them up to 6th and in the Europa League. So you have to give him credit for that. But the performances weren't great. I couldn't see any real identity about the side. And we've seen in this documentary series, he's told the players right from the word go, you're too nice. I want to see you to be, well, words we can't use on this broadcast.
Yes.
But he wants them to be nastier. So it might be a different type of Tottenham, a more fighting Tottenham, maybe a kind of change that Arteta's trying to make at Arsenal as well. So this season will be interesting, but the opposition is very, very tough to break into even the top four for them.
And this is the problem, Craig, in the sense that Chelsea have made all of these signings. Arsenal, you felt, have turned a corner with Arteta. They're looking promising. But for Spurs, it's difficult to hang your hat on too much optimism at all, really.
Well, the graphic that you put up with his second season, but he was always at clubs that had big transfer budgets, albeit, not so much Porto in the early days where he did an unbelievable job. But most of the other clubs, he was able to go out and replenish the squads. Obviously, Man United at the end, that was more difficult and was one of the reasons that he left in the end. But, you know, what, Højbjerg from Southampton, Joe Hart and Doherty from Wolves is a good player. But if you're Harry Kane, for example, and you're sitting back and, you know, you had an injury hit into the season before, you had an injury hit into last season, the football wasn't great. Yeah, they jumped up to sixth spot. But what are you thinking as a guy who's now 27 and really coming, is in the peak years of your career? You know, and there's not really a transfer budget again. So there's no expectations for me for Spurs. Yeah, I mean, I think he'll have them hard to beat again and well organised. And maybe they will have a nastier streak about them. But I think ultimately against the bigger teams or any most of the teams in the top half, they'll allow teams to boss possession. And that's really not what we've come to know of Tottenham. And I do think it's going to be another quite frustrating season where Mourinho's going to be questioned about his tactics, question about his style, and I think we're going to see a split in terms of, you know, the relationship between him and the Tottenham board, because, you know, we see it all the time, his frustrations boil over, the fans' frustration will start to boil over, and Daniel Levy's not just going to go all of a sudden, oh, well, here's 200 million. It's just not going to happen.
Craig, just on that nasty point, can you make players, teams nastier, or is it pretty much a natural thing?
You got to find the players that are prepared to do what you need them to do, and you know, as the old saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't always make it drink. And you know, that's just the way. So I don't think these Tottenham players are soft. Put it that way. Maybe he wants them to have a little bit more edge, but I don't think you get to your Champions League final and you play in the manner in which they played, particularly under Pochettino, with a softness about you. I just think maybe last year they were starting to feel a bit sorry for themselves, you know, and you know they seen a manager go, they saw performances that were poorer than they'd been used to. Then they saw a new manager come in, you know, he wants to make some changes. And all of a sudden, some players start to feel a wee bit sorry for themselves. So I think that's more of a problem than trying to make a player nasty. You don't have to be nasty. You just have to go out with a, with an aggressive attitude and do the job.
Shaka, it's telling, isn't it? Like, considering we do this show every day, I think if we were to do a pie chart of how much we've talked about Spurs over the last 2 months, it would be a very small slice. And that's indicative of people's expectations of them going into this new season.
Yeah, indicative of people's expectations, but not indicative of Jose Mourinho's teams. And to that graphic that Craig mentioned that you had up earlier, I think what you saw from Jose Mourinho and that second season success, let's keep in mind that at the time he's regarded as one of the best managers in world football. I'm not sure he still has that standing today. And the teams that he went into bought what he was selling, whether it was siege mentality and woe be unto us, as you showed, and into Milan and then Real Madrid, even if it did become unraveled eventually. I don't think anybody at Spurs is buying that this time around. And then his style of football isn't in keeping with who Spurs were under Pochettino, which brought them success and a hangover, yes. But who Spurs fans expect their team to be. I think it's more likely that you see a number of Spurs' brighter stars get frustrated with the negative football and with the defending and what you've seen from Jose Mourinho over well, not just the last few months, but the last few jobs. And you start to see the likes of Harry Kane maybe seriously consider a move away. Dele Alli seriously consider a move away. And if those two start, even if they do it privately and not publicly, if those two start feeling unsettled, I think the knock-on effect will be huge.
Ian mentioned it, Craig, the fact that this documentary, of course, been doing the rounds. So the exchange between Danny Rose and Jose Mourinho went viral. I'm just intrigued. Is that a conversation that you would ever have with your manager?
Listen, that was so soft. It was incredible. I mean, the fact that that went viral tells you all you need to know about what some people think goes into training ground arguments and debates these days, because that was a classic sit-down chat with the manager. I thought, you know, Danny Rose's first comment was a rather stupid, where he said, you know, if you don't want me to play, be here. If you don't want me to play, I might as well stay at home. Well, you can't stay at home just because a manager doesn't select you. That's his opinion. But it was a classic case of a player making the argument, look, you said I trained well, so you put me in the game. You told me I didn't play well, and then I don't play well again. I don't play again for 3 or 4 games. How do you expect me to perform at my best if you don't leave me in the team? And then the manager coming back saying, well, you know, I think I've got a guy here who's fitter and stronger and quicker and was doing a better job. And so it's a classic classic case of section 2-3s here, where the player's not feeling he's getting enough game time and the manager's not sure about him in this case. But trust me, that's about as soft as they come. I had a meeting after a game one evening when I come back from Aberdeen and I hadn't played in the game. And I hadn't come off the bench. And I had a sit down in the office about midnight, it was, with John Barnes. Eric Blackie's assistant at the time was in the dressing room. And I said to Barnsley, when we were in Aberdeen, I want to see you. And he said, see me when you get back at the ground. Now, it's a 3-hour drive. And I think he thought I might have calmed down. And I went into that room and we screamed at each other. And John Clark, the kit man, who was a member of the Lisbon Lions team in 1967, he played for that great Celtic team. He was the kit man at the time. The kit room was about 100 yards away. Next day, he said to me, bloody hell, big man, I heard every word of that down here. So if people think that is an angry exchange between player and manager, they have no idea. They really have no idea.
What about him throwing his teammates under the bus, Shaq?
Yeah, that was odd. But, you know, again... I'm with Craig. So the first I saw this is when you sent it to me, Dad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is a training ground bust up. So I'm sitting there watching it, expecting Danny Rose and Jose Mourinho to start throwing punches any minute. We rolling around on the desk in his office, something to happen. And then all of a sudden it cuts to Rose talking about, well, you know, sitting in some chair, talking about, well, I'll have to move on. That's three minutes of my life that you owe me, Dan. I'm not sure I'm ever going to get back. That was a total waste. And I was expecting to say, and I replied, and you could testify to this, my reply to that was team.
Yes.
And that was, I mean, how, it was,
at
it
what
was
point,
nothing.
At what point did he throw his teammates under the bus, Daniel?
When he said that...
When he said there are others. He said there are others who train poorly, play poorly, and they're still in the starting 11. That's about as controversial as that interview got. Let me tell you, I was totally, totally disgusted. Well, disgusted at that. Sorry.
For now, we're into this. He sent me the thing. He said, "Have a watch of this. We'll talk about it on the show." I had a watch of it, and I thought, "Oh, well, there you go." But you know, when I used to go and that's the kind of thing I would say to a manager. If he said to me, "Well, you know, you're not doing it from midfield or whatever," I say, "Well, how many goals are you getting from midfield? How many of those are getting you? That's not throwing teammates under the bus. That's stating your case. If Tottenham are not defending well, and that's either black or white by results." Then you go in and you say, "Listen, here's the facts. We've lost the last 3 out of 4 games or whatever it is. We've not kept a clean sheet and you're not playing me." That's not throwing teammates under the bus. That's stating your case to a manager. But please, this amazes me. This 2020, where we are, the modern football, where everyone thinks the smallest thing is a big deal. Trust me, it is not. That is kindergarten stuff compared to what normally goes on.
I think a lot of the old style managers as well, Craig, I think they just pinned the team up on the team on the board on a Friday, and they didn't want to have any explanations at all. You're either in the team or you weren't. I remember the story, if you go back to that great old book, The Glory Game, about Tottenham back in the 70s, and Cyril Knowles, the left back, was sent in by the other players to say to Bill Nicholson, the manager, "You never tell us how good we are." And Bill Nicholson looked up and said to him, "Look at the team sheet. That's when I tell you how good you are. Now get out." That was the end of the discussion.
Do you know the late Jim Smith, Dan, QPR, Newcastle, Derby. I was with him at Derby. He signed me, the bald eagle, proper old school. You know, you talk about, you know, he would get a player in the room, and the whole thing would be reverberating. I mean, he used to get us on a Monday in a meeting room, and he would just tear shreds out of individuals or everybody collectively. One Monday, he called us all cowards, moral cowards, top of his voice, "You're all moral cowards." And then I started arguing with him. Oh, I mean, it was just incredible. This stuff, this is nursery school. I mean, it really is.
Since we shared manager stories, I've got an absolute classic. So when I joined West Ham, first time in 98, and everybody was talking about this story. Marco Bugas, Dutch defender who'd been there, Harry Redknapp, goes into Harry's office and says, "Gaffer, listen, I want to talk to you about my role in the team, why I'm not playing, blah, blah, blah." Harry says, "Come with me, let me show you something." They step out of his office. Harry points above the door. He says, "What does that say?" Marco Bugas says, "Manager." Harry says, "That's right." Slams the door. That's it.
Yes.
Love it. Oh.
We missed out on your fly on the wall documentaries, boys. That'd be much more entertaining.
I tell you what, and that's one of the reasons I don't watch some of this mundane guff these days, because you know it's interesting for people. It's interesting for, I think, people from the outside, and that's who it's targeted for, who don't really know what goes on in the inside. But I think from the perspective of guys who have been in the dressing room for many years, we just look at stuff like this and go, that's a daily occurrence. So I understand why some people get excited about it, but for us, it's like, absolutely, that's a normal day at the office, this kind of stuff.
Stuart Robson tells me.
I'd love to know what's on the cutting room floor, wouldn't you?
That's true, yeah.
There might be some tastier stuff.
That's it then, boys. I'll never send you
anything. What was Stuart Robson going to say? So I'm interested.
No. Stuart Robson knocked out his assistant coach Phil Neal, didn't he, back in the day? He tells that story.
That is a
story. I mean, you just can't get that these days.
All All right, boys, thank you very much. Of course, the new season almost upon us. Plenty of predictions over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There was a feeling of disbelief when Manchester United released this as their third kit. It has received, as you would expect, a lot of criticism. I suppose, boys, we'll just end the show by getting your thoughts on it, Craig.
Well, I don't normally bother with stuff, but I mean, it does look a bit hideous. And it looks like a crossing, doesn't it?
Yes. It looks like a mess. Shorts as well.
Which leads me to the fact that whenever they get beat, we can always say they've been walked over.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Taxi!
I'm sorry.
Ian, I think you'd look quite good in it.
Oh, for goodness sake. I mean, I couldn't believe when I saw that. I thought, is it April Fool's Day today? I had to check the date. They're seriously not going to go out wearing that. That is it's ludicrous, isn't it? I remember they wore grey before once, and Sir Alex Ferguson got them to change at half-time
at Southampton.
Yep. You remember that? Because he said they couldn't see each other. it's mad. It's getting madder.
Shaka, when we talk about hideous kits, you've had quite a few over the years.
Yeah, I have worn quite a few. And that's one of the better ones, Dan. Listen, I'm in.
Why did you have arrows on your sleeves?
To show I knew where my hands were.
Right, good.
Pointed towards my hands, yeah.
That was useful.
Listen, I'm sure the worst was that I had this pink checked one when I was at Reading. That was the worst of the lot.
Really?
So I'm in no position to tell people they were in bad kit, but United, that's a bad kit.
Yep.
That's a really bad... I mean, please don't wear the shirt, shorts and socks together. I mean, if you do that, I'm sorry. I can't respect you as a club anymore.
That's it, boys. That is done. Thank you very much for everything today. It's been a lot of fun. More, of course, coming up from Ian, Shaka and Craig on Extra Time, where we talk about, oh yeah, Messi and Ronaldo. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Shaka, Craig and Ian with me. Lots of tweets about Ronaldo and Messi today. Ian, we'll go with this one. If Ronaldo and Messi hypothetically switch clubs, who would perform better?
I think they carry on performing at the great level that they carry on performing at because...
get off the fence, Ian!
They're just two wonderful players. And
that's the answer of a man who's totally disgusted with these comparisons.
He's had enough.
Well, you're right, really.
If Ronaldo went to Barcelona, Messi goes to Juventus, Shaq. Who's going to be doing better?
I am going to go with Cristiano Ronaldo. I just feel Messi and Barcelona is the perfect fit, quite clearly, and it showed. But Ronaldo has a way of fitting into different systems and different teams and different cultures that we're just not sure that Lionel Messi can do.
So you say Messi would struggle in the Premier League, Shaq?
Yes, and the Tuesday night in Stoke.
That'd be it. Craig, who's doing better in this hypothetical world?
Well, I should remind Shaq that the Argentinian hasn't had trouble fitting into the Spanish culture. But there you go. I know the language is the same, but, you know. I would say...
13.
Well, yeah, he's fitted in. So I would say Messi would perform better because I think Juventus have a better defensive structure in their team, and that would allow him to go and showcase his talents. He can showcase his talents at Barcelona in his current team, but they haven't got a structure defensively. So I would say he would perform better at Juventus.
Xhaka, do you think Mendy can kick Kepa out of goal?
Can kick him out of goal?
Yeah, Edward Mendy.
Anybody can keep Kepa out or can kick Kepa out of goal, in all honesty. I mean, Kepa is his time's finished. I don't think Frank is going to stick with him for very long. Maybe he's forced to stick with him to start the season, but I don't think that lasts.
Ian, here we go then. Let's take you through the archives. What was the best goal you can remember commentating on? Not the most important, but the greatest strike or solo effort. Also, what was the best individual performance you've seen from a player?
Messi for the player, Messi at the 2011 Champions League final at Wembley. Greatest goal, I think, no question. I think the one Pavard scored for France against Argentina at the last World Cup was right up there, but I'm definitely going for Zinedine Zidane's wonderful volley in the 2002 Champions League final against Bayer Leverkusen. What a goal.
Yeah, that was a big...
Was that the one at Hampden?
Yeah, the one at Hampden.
Yeah, they go. People score goals at Hampden like that all the time.
Oh, yeah? You score at Hampden, Craig?
But not for Scotland.
No, I didn't actually score at Hampden, Daniel.
Oh, there we go. Uh-huh. Thought that was some sort of tenuous link. Have you ever seen a current footballer player and think that they look like you? Sometimes I see Craig and he reminds me of Nicolas Sula somehow.
Really?
He likes that's
not a good comparison.
I'm in decent shape, you know.
Yes, yeah, that's it. Xhaka, Kepa, I imagine some of his performances last season maybe was reminiscent of your days in between the goal.
I refuse to validate that with any kind of an answer, Daniel Thomas.
For Craig, what do you expect of Leeds United in their first Premier League season in a long time? Has Bielsa got the squad that can manage a top half finish?
No, I don't think so. But not yet. But, you know, they've made at least one signing in Rodrigo. I'm not quite sure how many more they've made off the top of my head. But the interesting thing is it's going to be how he's going to approach it, because he's very intense. His teams love to pass the ball, play at a high tempo, and I don't think he's going to change, you know, and we'll see if they get away with it. You know, Norwich tried the same kind of thing. Norwich under Daniel Farke were a very open, attractive side in the Championship, tried to come up, didn't really recruit too many players, tried to play the same way and really got picked apart. And so there is an argument to say, you know, when you come up to the big boys league, you have to change, you know, a certain way you play to be able to get some clean sheets. Because one of the problems for the teams coming up to the Premier League is not so much the scoring goals, it's to stop them going in at the other end by the bucket load. And that's a big issue if you play an open game in the Premier League. So we'll see. I think they can survive, and that's a start, and that's a building block. But I don't think it'll be in the top half. I would be surprised.
What an interesting first fixture for them, Craig, though, isn't it? At Liverpool as well. I think they're going to surprise one or two people early on. They're an innovative side, and I think they'll be entertaining. I don't know how it's going to turn out for them. I mean, some people think Bielsa's a bit of a myth. Other people think he's an absolute magician. You know, he's a messiah in Leeds for getting them back in the big time after 16 years. I think it's going to be a heck of a ride.
Should Barcelona be buying tiki-taki style players or physical and fast runners in the midfield, Xhaka, like Liverpool, to cover for the likes of Messi?
I don't know if they need to cover for Lionel Messi. They need to continue to build around Lionel Messi. And I don't think he fits in to a team that is just big and physical. I don't see how that that plays into his strength. Messi is at his best when the ball is on the floor and the team is passing. That's who Barcelona need to focus on. I'm getting just big root one type footballers is not their answer.
Ian, let's get some boxing knowledge. Who's the best pound-for-pound fighter right now? Lomachenko, Spence Jr., Crawford, Inoue, etc. What do you think of the upcoming Joshua Fury fight in 2021? Is Joshua that good?
Well, if it happens, Joshua Fury, I'd go Tyson Fury to outthink and outskill him and win that fight. If Fury's at his best and he's mentally right, I think he's the better fighter. Pound for pound, I'd say Lomachenko. Let's go that way.
Craig, you like your boxing?
Yeah. I haven't seen any big fights coming up, Ian.
Well, I was going to get your pound for pound. This is like a chat about boxing.
If it ever happens. But they need to start getting the crowds back for everything to take off again, don't they?
A couple of years ago, I would have said Gennady Golovkin, Triple G. But I think Lomachenko now probably... particularly with those body shots. Oh, imagine getting one of those in the ribs. Oh, one of those left hooks. I'm thinking about doing that to you, actually. If you bring up the Messi-Ronaldo debate, I've got a Lomachenko crushing left hook to the ribcage for you.
Left hook to the body, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Hello.
Don't think it'll take much.
Hello, HR.
you just reminded me, talking about boxing on football.
Talking about punching down.
Because Liverpool leads this weekend. And I saw that old film the other day of Johnny Giles flooring Kevin Keegan with a right hook and staying on the pitch in the chat. It was the Charity Shield as well. Back in the 1970s. Just, try and find it. It's just incredible. It stays on the pitch.
Peter Walton was probably the referee. Okay, who would be a better signing for Arsenal? Partey or Oar? Who do you think, Ian?
I think they do need a bit of steel in that middle of the pitch. So I think Partey would be a very good signing for Arsenal in there. I know they're very keen, but they can't seem to get that deal done. They've got Ceballos back, of course, from Real Madrid, and he did well in the back end of last season, but in a more creative way. Both good players, but I think of the two, I'd go Partey.
Final question, and you need to see a video before we refer to this question. If you follow Shaka Hislop on Instagram, you'd have seen this rather interesting.
Right. Just measure that move, making sure it's the right height.
There he goes. What happened here, Shaq? What happened there? What was that moment?
I was just making sure the hurdle was steady.
Yeah.
That's all.
Where was this?
This was a park near me.
What, recently?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
And you were doing...
Shaka being pretty good at 110 metres hurdles.
Were you showing the young goalkeepers?
Yeah, so that young lad, Miles Pockren, used to be on Atlanta's books, was supposed to be in Europe on trials this summer, but of course, the pandemic sorted that, so he's just been trying to keep in shape. So we've been meeting up over the summer, just working out.
We were doing
some hurdling work. I wanted to give him a demonstration of how to clear those hurdles perfectly, Greg. And
I wondered why you were showing him, because I'm sure the young man would have understood what jump over a hurdle means. So I just wondered
not as perfectly as I do it, Craig. That's
a technique, isn't it? It's like Edwin
Moses. That's key to it.
So there's a way.
Correct.
There's a way of hurdling.
And I would
could jump over a hurdle. Anybody could, but you know.
I would have put a bet on it. Is that every hurdle he clear, they went, "Oh, good lord."
Good lord. I am sticking to my story of clearing the hurdle.
Oh, good stuff, guys. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for more of this. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.